This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, is out today. We're going to begin today with a chilling look into the world of Adam Lanza, the 20-year-old man who allegedly shot and killed 20 first graders and six adults at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut last December. A report released late yesterday by the state's attorney in Danbury does not answer the question, why did he do it? But it does offer a stark portrait of a young, troubled man responsible for one of the nation's worst mass shootings. Among the details that leap out, Adam Lanza spent the final months of his life mostly alone. He spent hours playing video games, some based on dancing, some based on extreme violence. For years, his teacher said he was obsessed with violent imagery, and he had easy access to multiple guns. So what does all this add to our knowledge about last December's tragedy? And what does it say about how we might avoid the next one? Joining me now is Dr. Michael Rich. He's a pediatrician and director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Children's Hospital in Boston. And Dr. Rich, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
It's great to be here.
I know you've read some of the descriptions of this report. Let me ask you first, what jumps out at you?
This was clearly a troubled young man, and the signs were there for months, if not years, prior to the shooting. And unfortunately, his mother, probably in her misdirected desire to protect him, basically did not notice or did not call to the attention of caregivers these very concerning signs of his self-isolation, his disappearance into his own head and into his own room to the point where he was only emailing his mother living in the same house, and the disappearance into a fantasy world of violence.
Mm. Well, one of the details of the report that you focus on as an issue is that of violent video games. Adam Lanza lived alone with his mother, who he also allegedly killed that day. But before that, he spent months closed up in his room playing these violent video games. What does the research tell us about what that can do to a young person?
Well, there is good research over the last really 50 years on violent media and its influence on particularly young people, but on us all. And what it shows is that we all pretty consistently have one or more of three responses. The first being that, particularly in younger children, it increases their fear and anxiety because it artificially inflates the apparent prevalence of violence in the world. For all of us, the fact that we are around and we entertain ourselves with violence all the time desensitizes us. It makes us less cringing when we see or feel or hear about violence. It becomes part of the world. And what that does is it means we are less likely to stand up for helping those who are bullied, et cetera. And finally, and this is actually the least prevalent response, but the one that society is most worried about, in some young people, and we don't know who they are in advance, it increases their aggressive thoughts and behaviors. And it may have done so in this case with Adam Lanza, but it's certainly not a single causal factor.
You know, we know that there are millions and millions of people playing hyper-violent video games, watching graphic horror movies in high def, and yet violent crime in the U.S. is at an all-time low and falling. Is that a contradiction at all?
Not really, no. I mean, this is an easy explanation to say, well, obviously it has no effect. The reality is in the healthcare field and in public health, we try to ameliorate any badness. And if something increases your relative risk of something, we will address it. So absolutely, these are not the cause of violence, and violent crime is going down. But media clearly and consistently increases one or more of these three outcomes. And if we can intervene on it, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not reduce the risk?
You talked about some clear warning signs along the way in the case of Adam Lanza, because I was struck by one of the details from this report. His teacher said that he was obsessed with violent imagery going back many, many years. This wasn't just a recent phenomenon in his case. It went back to his early grade school years where he was writing and making up stories that involved fantastically violent imagery. Should that have been a warning sign along the way?
Absolutely, particularly coupled with his self-isolation, because there's no counterbalancing cognitive dissonance of the real world, of people being kind to each other, of people actually being hurt by that violence. So he was simultaneously focused on, to the level of obsession, violence, but also in an environment where he did not see the other side of it, the suffering, the long-term implications of the violence. He simply saw the orgasmic relief of the of doing violence in a very fantastical environment of video games, movies, and even in the target shooting he did, where he saved targets that were human silhouettes with his bullet holes in them.
You know, one of the things that I think we'd all like to take away from a tragedy like this is, what's the lesson? What's the sort of possible lesson that might help the next town, the next school, the next family avoid a tragedy like this?
We have to look out for our neighbors. We have to pay attention to those around us, whether they be our children, whether they be the children of friends or the friends of our children, the kids in our schools. We need to keep an eye on them, and we need to have the resources to care for them should we identify a problem. I mean, one of the big problems that we face is that people are reluctant to point out problems, not just because of the potentially stigmatizing component of this, which also is very, very important, but because there's not much that we can do for them should we identify them as a problem.
You mean not much to do in terms of public support, programs, that kind of thing?
Exactly. In terms of, we have very limited resources, even here in Massachusetts, which is arguably the best place in the country to get medical care. In part, this circles back to the stigma we have as a society around mental health issues, which is we're still caught in something of the Victorian era where we hid them away. Now, at least we talk about them, but we're not hiding, you know, our crazy uncle in the attic, but we are doing this systematically with the way that we fund mental health care, with the way that we provide mental health care to our citizenry.
That's Dr. Michael Rich. He's a pediatrician and director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Children's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Rich, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can find a link to the Connecticut State Attorney's report on Adam Lanza at RadioBoston.org. Stay with us. Still ahead on the program, the invention of the American meal. Not only you are what you eat, but how you eat also defines who you are. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.